Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Girl Dad Show. I'm super excited to have Ryan joining me today. Ryan, what is going on, brother?
Not too much. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, man. We had so much fun getting to know each other the other quarter, I think, actually. It's been a few months, but yeah, I'm glad this is a full circle, man. We had a good meeting of dinner, a good meeting of minds, and then now we're doing this to the show. I love it.
Love it.
Let's jump right in. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. What do you do for a living?
All right, so my name is Ryan Parsons, and currently I'm the CEO of eVive Brands, which is basically a platform of franchise brands that I oversee. And inside of that platform is a brand called The Brothers That Just Do Gutters. That's something my brother and I started many, many years ago, built it from nothing into a franchise, and then ended up selling it into this platform, which now we're part owners of, as well as I'm the CEO of. So
That's
that's about
awesome,
it.
man.
You
That's a
know?
huge story, man. I love it.
Sorry,
Let's
come on.
unpack the
What, 10 seconds?
podcast over. No, no
Yeah,
more
that's it.
questions. Yeah, like why don't you break that down a little bit? 'Cause I love the story so much, man. And I think that especially for me, I've been getting really into the industry of franchising and just the business model. And it's super fascinating to meet people like you that have taken literally a concept, a small service business concept, and then scaled it into a national enterprise, right? And so,
Yeah.
can you walk me through some of the ideas of why you started this business to begin with, and then when did you realize that you wanted to scale it?
Well, like all good ideas, they're not yours. It just happens to you, I think. But I mean, I had no intention in going into the trades. My dad was in the trades, and you know, he didn't make it look very sexy. Let's just say that. I worked, I got dirty, we did stuff. It was cool. Don't get me wrong. Love working with my hands and stuff, but never did I ever think that there'd be a career there. And I never ever thought that if you're not swinging the hammer, that there's more to do in the trades. You know, it's just like you're either a carpenter or whatever, or you're not. I didn't realize there's all this cool stuff to building a business. So anyway, I went to school for graphic design, fine art, all that fun stuff, and found myself working at a dot com, which became a dot bomb, somewhere around 2002-ish, whatever. And my brother, it's funny, he actually started the gutter company after working for a local guy. You know, owner operator. Like the guy did the work, he installed the work, he estimated the work, you know, like it was a one man show. And he ended up
Totally.
working for him for a summer and saw his lifestyle. The guy had like a house upstate, and, you know, just like what the heck? Just from
Yeah.
this? And so he actually stopped teaching and opened up his own gutter business. So anyway, as I was going out of business with the graphic design, I was working side on the side with my brother hanging gutter. And when that fully went under, me and him are on a gutter truck. And that's kind of evolved my mind. I was like, Ken, do you have a website? He's like, nope. I'm like, I'm gonna build you one. Like, what about a logo? I'll do it. What about job forms? So I just took all the talent that I had and the skills I learned, and I started applying it to this little business. I remember making fun of him. He gave me his business card, and it's like president of, you know, whatever. I'm like, what are you the
One
president
person.
of? This shed that we're that mom and dad's house with no electricity. I'm like, this is. I was like, well, if you're the president, I'm the VP of sales and operation. He's like, sure. So these two knuckleheads with these dumb titles. It was so funny.
I love it. Nine word titles. Yeah,
Oh
exactly.
yeah.
Global strategic advisor.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was.
That's amazing.
And it wasn't for a few years that we actually renamed it to the Brothers That Just Do Gutters. I'll spare you the gory details, but it was. We had some early success, and then we got our butts handed us to us in the recession. You know, we didn't know what we were doing. Didn't even know how to read a P&L. I actually wish I took some business classes instead of just art. So we had a long road to actually get and figure out and build a business. And then we figured out one of the hardest things to figure out in the trades is how to
Yeah.
scale beyond the owner being on a truck, like going to two or three crews. It took us years of going back and forth. Anyway, we figured it out, and then we said, you know what? We should franchise this. We've got it down pat. We could teach others how to do it. You know, it was more like, you know, we weren't saving any money for retirement. We're like, if we can do franchise, well, you get royalty. You know, we could teach people how to do it, and that's, you know, that's our retirement. So it was very simple. We didn't really understand franchising, I'll tell you that much, until we were really in it. And we just moved towards that model.
But how did you know to do it then? Did someone tell you about it, or like
Well,
what
like I
sparked
had
the
buddies that
interest?
owned like a Verizon franchise. Like I was at P&I, and this guy owned an Embroid Me, this one a Fastsign. So I started asking questions, and I'm like, this is great. So if you've got a solid product that's proven model, I actually hired a business coach, and they helped me with our numbers. And it actually turned out we had a great business. We just didn't know how to read the stuff.
P&L. Yeah, you didn't
We
want to
were
manage
doing
the
it
money.
full
Yeah.
time. He's like, your gross profit is what? I'm like, is that good? He's like, "Why? Well, why do I feel like we're going out of business?" He's like, "Because it's freaking February and you're seasonal." I'm like, "Really?" You know, I mean, it took us a minute. So, you know, and in 2015, we franchised it, had some success, and then we, you know, blew the doors off it like 21, 22, 23, and ended up just, we got it so much further than we ever thought. And then we started getting some offers from private equity. I'm like, "Wait a second. So you're willing to give me this? And I can still continue to work and build the thing that I love and create it?" "Yeah, absolutely." I'm
Heck
like,
yeah.
"All right, let me think about that." And actually, I mean, that's what happened. So, you know, it's been really cool to be able to be on the other side of that, still working daily with the brothers at Just Do Gutters and four other brands right now, in the Evive platform. So it's been a crazy journey.
That's awesome, man. And this is like totally a sidestep, but I have to ask because I know you as Gutter Brothers, but it's Brothers That Do Gutters. Sorry, I don't know where.
Just Do Gutters.
Brothers That Just Do Gutters is the actual name.
That's it.
So where does the Gutter Brothers come from?
I don't know. You just shortened it.
Oh, did I just shorten?
Yeah.
So
You
I
can't
did
read it.
that.
I don't know.
I did that. Okay, got it. Sorry, Ryan. My bad, man.
I mean,
That's
you're a
me just
brothers,
like.
and we do gutters, so Gutter Brothers, Brothers Gutters. I get it.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so I did that. That's funny. All right, cool. Awesome. And then what made you want to come back? Because it sounds like, oh, it's not coming back because you just basically stayed on. And
I
then,
just stayed on. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I'm young. I mean, that was 2023. I was 46 years old. If I was home all day, my wife would, you know, or bothering her all day, she'd kill me. And I love helping people build businesses. I have, like, such a heart for the stuck business owner. Like, I don't care what industry, somebody who, I don't care if you're a plumber and you're trying it, like, "Man, I've been trying. I can't get, every time I go to like three or four guys, things go backwards." Like, I have such a heart for helping people get unstuck. And it could be any business, right? I hate when people are stuck and then they decide, "You know what? I'm just gonna do everything myself." And now they spent
Yeah.
their whole career and they remain self-employed when they could have built something that could actually run without them. So that's why I love franchising, because you
Yeah.
can actually build something that someday can run without you. That's a business owner. And now you have passive income through your investment in something that you built that you can now deploy in other places. And it took me a long time that most people don't get wealthy off their day job, you know? Like, I know a ton of people in the trades. I know a ton of people that have businesses. Maybe they bring in 100, 200, 400, whatever they bring in a year. It's what they do with that money. It's the investments they make in real estate. It's that other opportunity. That's what it took me years to realize that not everyone was making a lot of money in their salary. It was everything else that they were doing and leveraging their business to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that people don't talk about, especially in the masses, like the I guess what I would say muggles or common folk. We just don't talk about equity, right? And how to build assets that make money for you while while you do your life. And we're the vast majority of us are conditioned to put time in, you get money out, you know,
Yeah, oh,
and
I make this per year, and that's the only thing that you think of. And it's so funny. Like, my sister, she lives in Virginia. All her friends that she went to college with, they all have rental properties. So they all have like regular jobs, but they got like, this one guy's got seven Airbnbs, and it's just over time. And it's just amazing. They got their day job making whatever their salary, but they're just way better at leveraging their extra money and making it work for them over time.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's kind of what franchising was for you. And that's what kind of turned you on to it, this
Oh,
concept of
absolutely.
like.
I didn't even realize, like, and you know, we were so dumb going into this thing. Like, it was hilarious. I could share more, but I know we got other
Yeah.
stuff to cover.
Well, just for my giggles and laughs, tell me the one dumb thing that you did. That's just a good story for me to hear, and then we can move on.
All right, so the first time we got approached by private equity to, you know, they're like the brothers that Just Do Gutters, we had, you know, maybe 15, 20 locations. So, you know, they're like, someone contacted us about, you know, purchasing. And I was like, "All right, let me set you up on a call with my brother. He'll run through the PowerPoint." Like, he's like, "Oh, no, I'm not interested in buying a franchise. Like, you know, we're interested in the whole thing." I'm like, "What do you mean?" I didn't know people sold the whole thing.
You
That
didn't
was
know that they
never
could
our
buy the whole
goal. We
thing.
never built this to go like, "We're gonna build it and we're gonna get this from private equity." We already thought we made it. We thought we made it by franchising, and we just need to go get franchisees. So yeah, that's how naive we were in the beginning of, like, you know, yeah. So that's just one example.
You were trying to sell the private equity guy that was trying to buy you entirely some
territory.
of territory. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. He's just like, oh,
He's
that's
like, that
nice of you.
valuation just went down. This guy is crazy.
No. I'm sure he thought it was fun. Probably thought it was awesome. Wonderful. So then let's talk a little bit about the journey of having kids and becoming a parent. When did that happen? Like, when did you start having kids during this entrepreneurial journey?
10 years ago is when I had my first child. So I don't know, I can't do math that fast, but yeah, I mean, what's crazy is my wife and I were married for about 3 years, and we said, all right, this is great, let's have a child. And she actually needed a new car, and so we were looking at trucks and stuff, and she's like, you know what, let's just get a minivan, you know, like we're gonna have kids, we're gonna, you know, whatever. I'm like, all right, I don't care. Like, I never cared about minivans. I know a lot of guys are like, no way, I'm getting a, you know, whatever, Suburban. So what's crazy is we actually bought a minivan, and we actually, it took us 4 years to get pregnant. The van was paid off by the time we had our first child. So it was tough, man. I mean, it was 7 years, you know, being married before our first child.
That's awesome, man.
That massive.
And what about the business side, though? When were you doing this? You got married and then you had the kid after 3 years, but then, like, what was the business? Were you always at Brothers That Do Gutters,
Oh
or?
yeah, since the time we were engaged. So I'm married 23 years. So yeah, it was like right around the same time that I got involved with my brother that I was, you know, either engaged or married.
Oh wow. So you became a dad while you were a business owner.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Oh
That's
yeah.
great. You're
I didn't
crazy.
realize.
So you know how crazy business ownership and you still chose to have kids. How good for you.
Well, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? So
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, if someone's, you know, if someone could show me how hard things would have been, I probably would have been like, dude, I'm going to get a job somewhere. But I would never regret it. I'm so glad we did what we did. So
Yeah.
fulfilling. Yeah, it's interesting. But it was really cool. We got really good advice early on in marriage. You know, an older couple from our church said, hey, listen, like, you know, when you guys have kids, what does your wife want to do? Oh, she wants to stay home with the kids. And they're like, well, the best thing that you can do is always live on your income. Whatever she makes now before kids, just bank it. Don't make decisions based on dual income, like, or buy a house or apartment based on the two of your income. And I'm so thankful for that advice because, yeah, she became a stay-at-home mom, and business, we got our butts handed to us in the recession. I mean, I remember, like, my brother and I looking at each other going, dude, what's the minimum you can make and not, like, miss mortgage payments? And we came up with a
Yeah.
super low number just to scrape by. So it was really, you know, if it was really, really great advice. And I do think a lot of people get themselves in trouble these days because, you know, oh, we both make nice money, and, you know, we have this apartment, this car, and before you know it, people are so trapped. They got nice things, but then their kids are in daycare and they running around like crazy, and they're like, man, I make 60 grand a year, but it's like 40 to keep kids in daycare. And it's like, what am
Yeah.
I working for? 20K? It's like,
That's right.
so I
Yeah.
was so thankful for that advice. As much as there was some really, really tough times, especially once you have two and three, and I do have six kids. I don't know if we've discussed that yet, but
No, it's
yeah, I'm
awesome.
thankful.
Good for
So
you, man.
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're rich in
So
business and rich in family. I love it. Good
thank
for
you.
you. Good for
Thank
you.
you.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about what your kids, if you have a 15-year-old, that's awesome. They probably are very, very aware, but this question's going to be more fun, but I'd love to hear the range of things that your kids think you do.
I could tell you this. My oldest son, when he found out I don't actually do the gutters, he was disappointed. He's like, 'cause like, so his uncle works with me, and he's, you know, he did gutters and now he's a trainer, and he just in
Yeah.
his head thinks like me and Uncle Ange go out and hang gutter.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. He was like literally disappointed. He's like, well, what do you do? I'm like, well, I do these. Like, so you're on a computer? I'm like, I'm such a loser to this kid.
Right, I don't know if you know this because I don't know how much we talked about it, but I own a pool cleaning company.
Yes, I do remember
Yeah.
that.
Okay, good. Yeah, but I do finance for a living, but I do happen to own a pool cleaning company. But my kids, for the life of me, like, actually, that's not true. Now I got to give them credit. Now they know what I do. But up until about last year, they just, whenever someone asks, what does your dad do? He's like, he cleans pools.
Oh,
'Cause
wow.
it's like this tangible thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's like very
like a
obvious.
job.
Like you do this thing
Right.
and that's what it is. And I think it's just a way that the kids process information, right? But
It's
it is really funny that he was disappointed, like that you're less
Well,
cool.
I actually, like, that reminds me, I really do want to go and ask, like, each kid and say, what do I do? And see what they say, you know?
Yeah, text me when you get the answer because I'm
Yes,
very
exactly.
curious
I
about
think
this
that's going to be
stuff.
fun.
Yeah, and then what do they think about your business? Do they understand the concept of being a CEO and leading people and no concept.
No, I still don't
Oh,
know what
that's
I'm doing. How could I tell them? I mean, fake it till you make it. I mean, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, I won't tell anybody. This is just gonna stay between you and
All
me
right,
in
I
this
appreciate
episode.
it. I appreciate it.
That is so funny. But tell me the more serious tone. Tell me your favorite thing about your job. You're being the CEO of the Evive brand platform.
The favorite thing, man, I think it's just so cool when a person decides to go all in and buy a franchise and the responsibility, and when they can get to the other side of that, there is nothing more fulfilling than getting a call from a franchisee saying, "You've changed my life." So that's probably one of the most favorite things, because that's at the heart of what we do. On a daily basis, I don't get that call. On a daily basis, my favorite thing is making things better, like removing friction. I've got this new, I got to see Marcus Buckingham talk earlier this year, and he talked, he's got a new book coming out. I don't know what it's going to be called, but he talked about unloving pass-offs. And it has just completely changed the way I look at everything. So an unloving pass-off is like when you call up your cable company and it's not working and they make you explain it 50 times, you're frustrated, you can't get to the right person, you just get passed off, passed off, passed off. We do that to our clients, right? In the pool company, like, you know, how much friction do we create in an experience? Like, fill this out. Oh no, you've got to call this number. Oh no, to schedule a service, you got to go through the portal. Like, not that you do, but like, we create all this. So my whole goal is to get rid of it. Like, stop passing franchisees around. Marketing, you know, talk to marketing. Oh, they said who? Oh no, that's not the one in marketing. Yeah, talk to Penny. No, not Penny. I hate it. So that's one of my favorite things, is to remove friction, remove roadblocks for my people, and build really cool things so that our franchisees can take 1 more percent and put it in their net. That nothing makes me happier than finding some money and removing friction so that they can put a little bit more money in their pocket.
Oh, man, that's beautiful sentiment, man. I love that. And can I ask an uncomfortable question? Like, 'cause I've been getting into franchising and I love it. And I will say that it is really nice because I share the same sentiment about being able to help. My personal goal is to help more Americans own business or own equity at the very least. I think it's like the fastest path to helping rebuild the middle class. It's kind of like a personal mission of mine. And
Love it.
I love franchising for those reasons, right? Because it kind of feeds that mission for me.
Yeah.
But it's still a business.
It
And
sure
it's
is.
still really hard, and the failure rate is still there. It's not like it doesn't exist just because you have an operating system and you have a brand. It's like
Yeah.
it's not 90% failure rate, but it's still a significant failure rate. And I'd just love to know from your point of view, like, is that like, how do you think about that? And what do, and how do you process that kind of stuff?
So you really got to make sure you've got like the best processes and everything possible, right? Because you
Right.
can have a, like, you know, we owe that to somebody who's buying a franchise, but a lot of it's on them, right? You know, it's amazing when you've got neighbors, literally, they could be the same zip code, they're right next to each other. Why is this one thriving and this one is dying?
Yeah.
And it almost 100% comes down to their own leadership. And that's the thing that I don't think, you know, people think franchising and they look at the numbers like, oh wow, this guy's making this and look at his gross profit. And oh, you know, I'm gonna buy that. I got 400,000 in my, you know, 401k, I'm gonna roll it in and, you know, we're gonna just start printing money. Like, it's amazing how many times people say, you said it was gonna be hard. I had no idea it would be this hard.
Yeah.
And that's with all the systems. But the good news is, it took me 10 years to crack a million. Franchisees can crack $1 million in their first year or two, right? And
Yeah.
you're taking the learning curve, you know, and you're adding a bunch of other stuff. I don't wanna say they get to keep as much as, you know, but at the same time, like, that's what's great about franchising. It is a step up. You don't have to go figure out a logo, a name, and what marketing works and what doesn't work. You do have to go find good people, though. And if you're not a good,
It's
like,
totally.
and something that has like stuck with me is, A players don't work for B leaders. And a lot of franchisees are B leaders, and if they get an A player, they don't keep them because they're
It's
B.
almost like, they accidentally get threatened by it, or they don't know how to level up themselves.
Yeah, and so that's a big journey of mine too, is to really help the franchisees, you know, understand their leadership. Like, that's the thing that they don't realize it is a factor I can't control. We have a few levers. There's things we can do. We can increase advertising, support. There's a lot, but they've got, you know, if I got 10 levers, they got 100. They
Yeah,
can
totally.
completely, and sometimes it's just little tweaks, and sometimes it's just some grit, you know? Sometimes, like, oh, everything's great. Oh my gosh, I lost my marketing person. I lost this. I don't know what I'm gonna do. And then they want to fold. They're like, I'm going back to corporate America, which I hate. It's like, dude,
Yeah.
You got kicked in the head like 3 times, you
What?
know? Like, get up. Like, let's go. I mean, this is not gonna not happen again.
I know, I know. Well, it was really funny. I mean, I will share the same sentiment. I was talking to a couple of business owners. I mean, I've been working with small business owners for a while before I got introduced to franchising, but now I talk to franchisees and business owners, and it's been a volatile market over the last year and a half, right? It's been very strange times, weird peaks and valleys, and very deep valleys. And I'm still growing. My pool cleaning company keeps growing, and they're like, "How are you doing that? Like, what's the trick?" And I'm like, "There's no trick. Sometimes you just have to get punched in the face and just work 4 times harder for the same." And
That's
they're
it. I
like,
mean,
"I'm like, yeah." And I'm
most of the
like,
time it works out. You know, when you
"Yeah."
look back, it's typically like, oh my gosh, that did suck. That sucked. But, you know, well, holy cow, I'm 50% better than I was 2 years ago. My
That's
gosh,
exactly
where'd
right.
that come from?
Yeah. Just the level of grit is just, it's hard to explain to people. It's like, no, this is just normal business ownership. This is just how hard it is. It's just when markets change, sometimes you have to do twice the amount of work for the same result during bad times. That's just, right now, it's like 4 times the amount of work. But I mean, that's how we're sustaining our growth. We're not like special. We're just working 4 times as hard for the same level of growth.
Yeah,
That's all we're doing. Yeah.
the
And then,
tides change, and that's when you need to capitalize. And
yep.
that's when
And
you're like,
save up your money like a chipmunk. That's right. Yep.
that's it. And that was something that
Yeah.
happened in the last recession in 2008. I said, I will never, ever be the guy that's losing everything. I want to be the guy that's buying everything in a recession, you
Yeah.
know? Where, like, when there's houses, they couldn't even sell them, and there was $1 million home, and they're, you know, foreclosing on it for 300. I was like, I want to be in a, you know, not to take advantage of a, you know, of anybody,
Yeah.
but like, man, like that's the time you know, like there were so many people that were able to, you know, do amazing
Capitalize,
things.
yeah. Exactly. That's amazing, man. So, talk to me about your kids. Do you want them to be in franchising or business ownership?
You know, I want what they want, which I have no idea yet, but yeah, I mean,
Hmm.
I love entrepreneurship, right? So yes, if they could all own businesses, that would be fantastic. I'm not the biggest fan of go get a job, you know, have 1.2 kids and all that. You know, I think getting a job and learning and all that kind of stuff is great. Like,
Yeah.
take as many opportunities as you can. But yeah, like if my kid was like, you know, Dad, instead of college, I want to start a business. I'm like, fine, I'll pay just as much as I would have for college. Like, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know what?
Yeah.
Take a few business courses as well. So I'm not like, you know, and I don't know if I'm wrong or not, because I see so many like people that, you know, are wealthy or whatever, and they make their kids get 2 degrees before they can do anything and all this
Yeah.
stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's the way. I just feel like, man, what better education? Like my college, like I learned graphic design. I mean, what a throw away world these days, you know? But I'm like, you know what? Owning a business, I don't care if it's a lemonade cart. You're gonna learn
Yeah.
finance, you're gonna learn people, you're gonna learn employees, you're gonna learn product. I mean, like,
Yeah.
I mean, can I talk about it? I'm like, I would buy a business for, like, because we have a lot of cousins and everything. They're all the same age as our kids. Like, I'd rather buy these kids a business and let them figure it out. And if they fail, who cares? Like,
Yeah.
college is probably the best education they could get in that sense. But if, like, my daughter's
Right.
like, you know, she's like, I want to be a veterinarian. I'm like, all right, well, we can't learn that on YouTube, you know?
Yeah. You have to, so that's so funny. So you're very comfortable with whatever they want to do. And
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, again, I feel like my job right now is to introduce them to enough to try and find their talent. And I know with my oldest one, he's so personable. He's sales. He's got like, he loves food and like, you know, he's got expensive taste. I'm like, oh my gosh, kid, you better make money, you know? Let's get the Wagyu. I'm like, I didn't know what that is till a year ago. How do you know what that is? I'm
Yeah,
like,
I love that.
yeah, so, but yeah, I definitely can see where he's developing into, but I got a 15-year-old, then a 12-year-old's the next one. So it's just not shaping. I don't have it pegged by any means of like where I think
Yeah.
they should go.
What did your wife want them to do?
I'd stay home with her until you know, the grandkids are coming in.
I love it. That's awesome. She's like the
Yeah, and we don't
mother
talk
bear.
about that much. Like we just talk about like, you know, and they are all homeschooled. I don't know if
Oh,
you know. So
really? I'm
she ended
so
up,
interested in homeschooling. This is
yeah.
awesome. You homeschool 6 kids.
I don't, my wife does, you know.
That's still amazing,
But
man.
so
That's
that's
awesome.
amazing. So it's really cool. We have such a, like, I work from home. So like, you know, I finish this call, I go out there, the kids are there. It's just a really cool way to do life. And so I think she's in the same page. Like we just want them to learn and be curious. Like that's the one thing like that, you know, I didn't embrace learning. I learned how to memorize stuff for a
Yeah.
test, which I didn't do very well. I was actually the guy that did 5 years of high school. So, you know.
Nice.
I
Good
wish
for you.
that was because I was such an amazing athlete. But anyway, like I didn't learn until I was older. It was all about like doing what somebody told, and you got to read the stupid book so you can pass the test.
Right.
You know, I want my kids to be curious. I want them to open up those doors and all that. But at this point, they probably all, I think they all want to be YouTubers. So who knows?
I think everyone does at this point. Yeah. All the kids are talking about it. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? But that is interesting. So you're homeschooling, your wife's homeschooling the kids. You have six. Can I ask why six? This is a very large number for most people.
More than five, you know? Shoot, we almost thought there was a seven earlier this week. I was like,
oh, really?
We're too old. I'm like, come on, we're done.
Because it's more than five.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So,
oh, that's great.
We always wanted a big family. And, like, honestly, I'd have 10 kids. But,
yeah.
You know, I start doing I'm 48 years old. I start doing math. I'm like, they're 20. I'm 60. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, all right. Like, we have, like.
Yeah.
And I love
totally.
We were actually good with five. And it was just an oopsie-daisy. Oopsie baby.
And I love it.
You know?
Happy accident. I will say that I also grew up in a big family and I wanted a lot of kids. But we only have two, so I'm a little bit bummed out about it because I really wanted a lot of kids like you, man. I feel like you're living the dream, man. You're definitely
trying to get a vasectomy, and then you didn't. I just threw that in because I know you say you don't edit.
That's right. Now my wife's gonna be like, "Who is this guy you're talking to?" That's awesome, man. So talk to me a little bit about the. Well, actually, I have one more question about your wife. So what does your wife think about you going through this? Because she's seen you at like kind of your worst, and now she's kind of seeing you at your best as well. Like,
but I mean, I couldn't have had a better wife. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't care if we have money or if we like, she has never, ever, ever like told me. Like, I mean, there's times I should have quit, the numbers said it, everyone said it, the business said it. It was just like, and she never, ever gave like that was like my dream. She never, ever like dissuaded me from doing it. And, whether we had no money in the bank or a lot of money in the bank, it never drove her. She doesn't ask for a lot and fancy things and all that kind of stuff. But she just, you know, she values family, she values relationship, and she's very generous. I mean, she would give it all away if I let her, you know? So she's very generous and very relational. Just with franchisees, I can't tell you how many people have like, because their spouse just couldn't take the uncertainty. Like, what do you mean you can't go to the kids' game? Like, you've always gone to the kids' game. It's like, you know, and not that you want to miss your kids' games, but like, you start a business, like, I'm sorry, certain, you just can't like clock out, do everything, go to pickleball. And you know, and it's amazing how many spouses that aren't on board. If we want to backtrack, that's one of the other big reasons why businesses fail, and especially in franchising or any business, is because the spouse is like, nope, this is too hard, it's either me or the business. And I've never, ever had that type of conversation with my wife.
Totally. That's a really interesting point, because I will say that the most influential and impactful thing that people underestimate about being a business owner is your partner. It's actually not your business partner, your spouse, right? Like, it's incredibly, incredibly important and powerful. And I will say that it's probably the most influential to your success. So it's a tough one. Can I ask what your dad thinks about you? What is, because he was in the trades, you said, right?
She never really cared about the money or lack of money. Just she supported my dream and was 100% behind me the entire time. It was amazing.
Awesome, man. Yeah, it's so influential to have a good partner. It's like the most impactful and influential thing in business ownership. And I tell this to people all the time. It's not your business partner, it's your spouse. And my wife is constantly holding back her. She's very risk averse. So she's constantly holding back her inhibitions and frustrations and insecurities because she knows it impacts me a lot, you know? And I always have to remind her, I'm like, you don't know this, but I'm on a 5-year plan to kind of try to change our life. And so I'm literally swinging for the fences for 5 years. I have one more year left. And I was like, if I fail, I'll just go get a job and we'll go back to a good life. It's a good life. It's not a bad life, you know, by any means. So, and so that's kind of the idea. So I always have to remind her, I'm like, hey, when you say those things and you tell me to pull back or watch out, it really like scares me and it makes me question what I'm doing and not lets me swing for the fences. And so she's been really great at it, but I didn't think about how much she impacted it. Now I like, yeah, well, now I talk to business owners about how to like take those risks or leaps. I'm like, unfortunately, you have to have a really good relationship with your spouse. Yeah, it's so important.
I mean, I think it was easier for me because I had nothing to lose in the beginning. We had like an apartment for $750 a month. Like, you know, we didn't really have any debt. Like, there wasn't we didn't already build a life and then go for it. I mean, I have so much respect for people that have already had a successful career, country club, you know, lifestyle, and then they go and start a business. I mean,
yeah,
it's, there's a lot more for people to lose when they do this in their 40s or 50s or even, you know, just depending on their stage of life. I was fortunate that this was all we kind of knew, you know,
yeah,
ups and downs of it. So I don't want to take too much credit, but it was definitely nice to be able to start this journey early.
I agree. I mean, I love that she's kind of seen you through the whole journey. I mean, being the CEO of a platform is not a small gig, man. That's a big deal. And then being like from, you know, but I mean, just like being able to watch you do that, you know, has got to be super cool for her to see. She's got to be so proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. And I don't know if you're married to you, man. Yeah. What does your dad think about you being in the trades?
Loves it. He actually was one of the first ones to buy a franchise, as much as we told him not to, when we didn't want to. Dad, we're like, no, you're too grumpy. You're not patient enough. Like, no. I mean, he has loved this journey. Like, he would talk to us every week about business. Like, what are you doing now? What's going on with this? So when we actually franchise, like, no, I want to do it. I'm like, I don't know, Dad. It was so great. He's like 79 now, and he just sold it, his franchise.
Wow.
So
it was a good investment for him.
It was a good investment for him. Yeah, it definitely was.
But being the first franchise is a lot of pressure. What? Because you're still getting your feet wet. You're messing up. You're doing. Yeah, you don't know what to do.
Which is a lot easier, you know, to say, hey, Dad, sorry, you know, that wasn't a good idea.
He's been welcoming and gracious about it.
I mean, we did have two pilot locations that we started in 2010. So we did have 5 years under our belt with pilot locations, two brother-in-laws that were brave enough to try and, you know, get this thing going.
Wow. So the first batch of franchises were a family.
Yeah, the first two pilots, it wasn't a franchise, but yeah,
family. Got it. And yeah.
The first official franchise, I don't remember if it was actually my dad or Jimmy and Jesse Olang. They were, Jimmy was a longtime installer for us, and they bought like literally around the same time. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, so we sold two basically as soon as we got our credentials.
It's awesome, man. Very cool story. So let me switch gears a little bit. What's next? What's the big thing that you're working on now, and what does success look like for you? I guess that's a two-part question. Like, I want to know tangibly what you're eyeing right now as your kind of big success metric, both professionally and family, and then would love to know what success looks like.
Yeah. So professionally, I mean, now that we have got this platform, we're acquiring brands. You know, we just acquired Maid Brigade, which is a national house cleaning service. So that was awesome.
Congratulations.
We've got a couple more in the hopper that, you know, look like they're going to happen this year, which is amazing. So right now it's just acquiring brands that make sense, that fit into our portfolio, as well as growing the brands and the franchisees that we already have. So that's pretty much the big, you know, purpose of a platform. And then leveraging, I think the thing that's, you know, been really taking up all my mental space is, how do we provide shared services to all these brands? You know, they used to operate all on their own. They needed everything. Once you have a platform, you're like, oh, we can handle that for you. So we're trying to, you know, grow that side, that organizational muscle, you might want to call it, of eVive, so that we can handle the HR, the financing, the marketing, things like that. And so that they can just really concentrate on supporting their franchisees and helping them, you know, ramp faster and do whatever they need to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a really cool, project, man. I'm really interested to talk to you about that and see how you pull that off. Cause you know, there's a lot of operational efficiency from doing that, and not doing it's kind of silly because you're a platform. You might as well, you know,
but we're in the middle of it. So it's painful, you know, it's like we're saying, all right, this person's actually going to work for us at eVive. It's like, whoa, give them back. Well, how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to do that eventually. Like, but right now, like, it's like, I know right now we're not able to handle it, but soon. So we're right in the middle moving pieces and it's painful. Like, it's painful for us, it's painful for our franchisors, some of their staff, because we've dropped the ball on a couple things, like, you know, like, hey, we're gonna do all marketing is now up here, and it's like, you know, it didn't happen because I'd like it, but it's getting, I know we're 6 months away from like this really being
dialed. Amazing. It'll be I can't wait, man. I can't wait to hear all about it and see it. It's gonna be awesome. So what is the big goals for you in this chapter of your dad life?
Dad life. You know what? I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
You know? You have.
And I just want to be more purposeful, right? With my kids and time. I do have six of them. And there's like three of them that like actually like seek me out for attention and time, and they get it. Mm-hmm. And then there's three that just kind of like, you know, they do their thing, and I could, you know, easily, you know, they just doing their thing. And I just want to be more purposeful. Somebody told me something a long time ago, and it really stuck with me. He said, everyone talks about quality time. He said, it ain't quality time. He goes, quantity time. You need to spend quantity time with your children. That 10 minutes, 30 minutes uninterrupted, they're not going to open up to you. That's not enough for them to really, you got to be with them. And so that's something that I'm very aware of, is I just want to be with them, be purposeful. When they're like, hey dad, want to play cards? I'm not like, no, maybe later. I'm like, I'm going to like, yeah, let's do it. Let's play right now.
Yeah.
Right. So I just want to be purposeful. I want to be in tune with what they need. And I do want to try and be, you know, get alone time with each one of them a little bit more often.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Those are great, admirable goals. I love the whole concept of quantity time. I actually believe that it's both. You need both. Yeah, because there's a certain level of qualitative time that happens just by being bored together. I think, you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of value in it.
It all happens. That's like when you start making forts and you're in the woods and like, you got to get, kids need to be bored.
Totally. I love that.
And you see the creativity come out.
That's right. I love it. Ryan, let me wrap up here with some rapid fire questions I'd like to ask every guest. Let's start with the first one. One piece of advice for parents or soon to be parents that you would give, just one, if you had to give one.
Crap. I was going to say, I had a couple. Have lots of kids.
Lots of kids. Oh, that's great advice. That's great advice. Man, I really want a lot of kids. You're making me jealous. Yeah.
I'll give one more. I know you didn't.
Yeah, go for it.
Like, being a parent is not about filling up your calendar with every sport in the world and carting your kids everywhere. Like, there's a lot of other things that you can do. And I think a lot of parents like miss the point, and it's just, you end up becoming a slave to your children's activities that they might not even want to be doing, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's interesting. So being open to kind of being more flexible and adaptive and enjoying the moment versus trying to like slog them into everything. Yeah, I'm. I feel like you're talking to me right now. You've been talking to my wife?
No.
Did she pay you $5?
Introduced them to lots of things, but but I see some of the parents and it's like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. They're not going to be all pro ball players.
Okay, next question. One thing that surprised you after you became a parent?
I did not realize how selfish I am. Like when you're single or you, whatever, you do whatever you want when you want, but you don't realize you're doing whatever you want when you want until you get married. Then you're like, there's someone else here. I guess I'm not going to play video games right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, that was easy, but it was like, talk about like, you want to see me be the worst version of myself. And I've fixed this. Me at bedtime or supposed bedtime. That's where I really like, and I realized I was getting so frustrated. Because I was selfish. I was like, all right, cool. We're putting the kids to bed. Let's get them ready. We'll get their teeth brushed. We'll pray with them. And then I'm going to go watch a show.
Mm.
2 hours later, you know, you can't find the toothbrush. Someone's hungry. You know, they can't fall asleep. And then I found myself so impatient. And I was like, stop having any agenda, because I'm only making it frustrating for them. They're feeling my frustration. So it was definitely like a, like, how is that even me? Because it's not my personality. But man, that's.
Yeah.
I realized I was very selfish.
Yeah. That's so funny, man. I love it. I mean, I think I know this is rapid fire questions, but I have to make one comment, because I equate it now to just being like realizing how hard it is to have kids and how tired I am all the time and how selfish I used to be as well too. And how I used to think my life was hard before I had kids. And then now my empathy for everyone in the world is so high. Like I literally, someone cuts me off in the road, I just assume they have 5 kids. I'm just like, they're just doing the best that they can. Just come on in, buddy. I know, I get it. You're probably, you're a parent. I get it. I just assume everyone's a parent and they're doing the best that they can. And my empathy is so high now because I just realized how selfish I was living before kids, you know?
Yeah. It will definitely make you realize that you're super selfish.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, man. All right. So do you have a favorite book or podcast that you like to listen to?
You know, I mean, I'm going to go to the original, the E-Myth, when you're talking about business.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Like, it's the first book I read probably since college. It's the first book I read on purpose for business. You know, I never read books, never did anything that, you know, I never read for pleasure, never read a Harry Potter or any of those things. And that book was just so instrumental for, we were already in business and it confirmed how my brain worked. I'm all about systems. And then mm-hmm. also slapped me in the face on a bunch of things that we weren't doing right. So it was like, you know, I like to think of it like sometimes we read to learn and sometimes we read to confirm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that book did both for me. So that was a pivotal, like foundational book that the franchise, everything just clicked in my brain. And I knew exactly what I needed to do after that.
It's amazing, man. I love it. And then Ryan, when you're not being a super dad to six and an awesome husband and a CEO of a glowing platform, what does Ryan do for fun? What's your downtime activities?
So I still like building Lego sets. Like, look at that Avengers Tower. But now my kids.
Nice.
You know, I got to help. I think I got to do it with them. But love doing that. I like the outdoors, shooting guns, golf every once in a while. We have a house upstate where we ride four-wheelers and do some fishing and stuff.
So nice.
I like that kind of stuff. But I, you know, generally, I just like hanging out. Like, you know, when we met, that's one of my favorite things to do is to
it's awesome.
Have a beer with a few people, whether we know yeah. or don't. I always get charged up by being with other like-minded people.
I love that, man. That's awesome.
And we do a lot with church. We're very busy with church too.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love it. You're like, it's a very fulfilled and rich life. I love it. Yeah. You have a lot of everything. It's very bountiful and you have a really great energy. And I think that it's very, very fascinating to hear you talk about your story because it makes a lot more sense why you're so energetic and bountiful. You seem like you live life to the fullest in every aspect.
I try.
Make sure you send this to your wife and then
she's gonna be like, who is this guy?
Ryan, it's been really nice to talk to you. I really appreciate you taking some time to be on my show, man. It's been really good to get to know you better.
Great to see you.
Yeah, we'll talk soon, okay?
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother.